with Wally and Flip, the Routines Pod.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Wally and Flip.
I'm Wally.
And I'm Flip, and welcome back to another episode. We are coming off a long weekend of Four Continents, which I wish I could say I watched more of it, but between it airing in the middle of the night, almost every night for us the past 3 days, I probably only watched about like half of each event.
Yeah, I think you did more than I did. It is very difficult when they are so late at night for us. Slash, like, early morning.
Early morning. I was going to say, like, is it even late night anymore when it's at 3 in the morning? Like, that's just, like, the worst possible time ever.
Yeah.
I kind of want to talk right out of the gate about both Four Continents and Europeans, because I do feel like viewership and overall care across the figure skating community is dwindling. And obviously more so than ever during an Olympic year, but I think I could say the same for the past 3 years.
Yeah, it's hard for me to think back. This year it is so noticeable, but I didn't really feel like that in prior years. I will say for Four Continents, I do always feel like that, so.
But like the top Four Continents skaters generally like don't attend Four Continents as much as they do Europeans. But even we saw this year, like Adam Siauhempfa withdrew. You know, like, so, or is could that be a trend that gets started? I think potentially.
Yeah, that's an interesting take.
Because I actually didn't quite realize this, but when it comes to world standing points, specifically around the ISU championship events, so Worlds, Europeans, Four Continents, Junior Worlds, the Olympics, they all have like a similar point value in terms of like placements. But let's say like you get first place at Four Continents and second at World Championships in the same season, you don't get to carry over both of those points into the next season. It's your best result. I don't know if I like that.
So when you say your best results by points, you mean like first and second or the score that you got at that event?
No, like your world standing points. Like the world standing points you gain from that event, if you go to both Four Continents and World Championships, let's say total world standing points, I'm making this up, 2,000. Okay, but if you had 1,500 points from Worlds, 500 from Four Continents, you would only take the 1,500 points.
I have a lot of questions. This is really stupid. I'm not sure I fully understand why we care so much about world standing points other than the order that you skate in at a competition. Is there some other factor that I'm missing or just how some federations use it for like qualification to bigger competitions?
So those are definitely two reasons. Another reason is it determines who gets Grand Prix spots in the following year.
Okay.
There's a lot more that goes into it, of course, than just your world standing points, but that is a consideration.
Got it.
But as we know, like, it is absolutely critical to be in the last group or the last couple groups at a major competition like a World Championships or Olympics. Speaking of, like, I've been seeing some folks posting about who is going to be in, like, the first group at the Olympics. Like, for women, of course, like, Adelia Petrosian and Victoria Safonova, both in the first group. There's going to be, like, over 30 skaters.
Right.
And in the men, I saw Max Naumov, Peter Gimenek, Tomi from Spain. I'm like, he's always competing. Like, I was kind of surprised to see, like, he's going to land in the first group. Donovan Carrillo.
Wow, that's interesting. I would have thought that there'd be some others with much lower world standing points.
Exactly. But going back to, like, our initial discussion starting the episode, I understand maybe like worlds and junior world championships, like you wouldn't, if you competed at both, like you shouldn't be able to carry over both points from those events. Like it's just not fair. You know what I mean?
Right.
But I think Europeans and Four Continents should be almost like a tier two championships where you can carry over those points as well as like a worlds and Olympics.
Yeah. And I think to your point, they have to find a better way to differentiate European championships and Four Continents.
I think more than anything, they need to find a way to incentivize the top skaters to want to come to these events.
Right.
And I think there was like a golden era of Four Continents where you had your top skaters attending every year. You had Yuzu, Shoma, Nathan, like I think once Nathan won four continents, he stopped going. But, like, there was that time where we had all of those skaters, or Patrick Chan, like, you know, they were staples in the event. Like, this last quad, I mean, we've had Cao win twice now. We've had Junwan Cha win. We've had Shaidarov win. Like, obviously, those are some top skaters. But, like, where's Ilya? Like, you know what I mean? Where's Yuma in the mix? Like, I would expect to see them at a major championship.
Right.
Now, after saying all of that, I'm going to flip the coin and say, for countries like the United States and Japan that have so much depth, it's a great opportunity to kind of see, like, your quote-unquote B team get those opportunities at the major championships. So I could argue both ways. You know what I mean?
I know.
Maybe more spots. I think surely for four continents, a country can have more than three spots.
Yeah, like, why not?
Because there's less of a pool of skaters to select from anyway.
So going back to the ISU reform suggestions that we talked briefly about last week, what were the specific changes with Euros and four continents? Was it just more about the time that it would occur?
It was just the scheduling. And I was going to go there next and say, like, maybe with the updated schedule, if it materializes, maybe that is an incentive and it will work out in a skater's schedule a little bit better. But again, like, If you're Ilya Malinin and you know you're probably going to get, like, first or second at a world championships, why would you go to four continents?
I think a lot of it, and who knows, maybe I'm wrong, but has to do with being injured, right? Like, why risk getting hurt? Why risk hurting yourself more if you're already, like, borderline injured? You don't necessarily need to go to that competition.
It's not like they need practice competing, a lot of these skaters at this point in their careers, especially this late in the season. It's like, now is the time to buckle down and get ready for either Olympics or World Championships, depending on the year. All right, so should we get into our recap?
Sure.
Let's start with the women right out of the gate. So speaking of our quote-unquote B teams here, this wasn't really the case because Japan had brought Yuna Aoki, Ami Nakai, and Mona Chiba to represent Japan here, two of whom are on the Olympic team, Miss Mona and Miss Ami. That really surprised me when we found out they were both selected for four continents. I imagine, I guess, Japan's, like, initial approach is to say, okay, so the Olympic team, do you three also want to go to four continents? And they kind of give them the choice.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Ami, I think, definitely had an argument to be here to garner world ranking points so she could be in a top group at the Olympics. But Mona Chiba, other than just wanting competitive experience, I have no explanation for her to be here.
Exactly.
And funnily enough, we have Yuna Aoki, who completely buckled down this weekend, put out two amazing programs, and is a four continents champion.
I mean, that was really, there's nothing else to say, but it was crazy. Like, in the best way possible, she was just phenomenal.
Like, what better reason to continue skating? I know she was thinking about retiring after this season.
Or one could say, what a way to end your career.
That's an argument as well.
Lights out performance ever.
Is she ever going to have a program that hits harder than her La La Land program?
Right. It's just, like, effortless the way she does it.
It's perfection. One thing, I don't think I've ever said this, but I've thought this all season. My favorite thing about her La La Land program is, like, I think you would expect the music to end on, like, the Here's to the Ones Who Dream song. Mm. But she ends with Someone in the Crowd, which is, like, such a hopeful, oh, wait, it's not just over. Like, there's always something more to look forward to and be excited for. So I love that.
Yeah.
So we didn't even level set, but I think we all know. So Yuna Aoki in first, Ami Nakai in second, Mona Chiba in third. I'm a little bit worried about both Ami and Mona at the Olympics. I don't know why.
I'm less worried about Ami, but I do agree. Mona's just, something's been a little off about her, and it might just be the pressure. It seems like she puts so much pressure on herself because you can see towards the end of her programs, she is finally starting to, like, have the stress lifted off of her. And there's a clear difference in her skating at that point.
Totally agree. I mean, she wasn't in top form here. There's no question. A lot of the jumps were extremely sketch to the naked eye. But maybe this is what she needed to, like, buckle down for the Olympics.
And I think, you know, with Ami, after that triple axel fall, that looked so painful. And I'm just so impressed with her, how she can just come back from that, right? Like, there'd be other younger skaters with less experience similar to her that would just fall apart after that. Like, she really has maturity in that respect and has a really good psyche about how to handle that.
Totally. And the only reason I worry about Ami at the Olympics in terms of, like, her potential emplacement is around the triple axel, because I don't fully trust she's going to be able to perform two clean triple axels between the short and the free skate. But I do feel pretty confident, like, she's going to land in the top six, because even without the triple axels or with mistakes, she's still going to deliver a strong score.
Exactly. So I want to talk about Sofia Semedelkina.
Girl.
Because
she's coming back. She's coming back from an injury. That's all I can say.
Right. And it's just, I just rewind to the beginning of the season. We were like, watch out. Like, her at Cranberry Cup was so good. And it's just so unfortunate when a skater then has to suffer an injury and it really just turns the course of their whole season.
But I do think she is young enough, and I think she still needs to mature a little bit in a lot of ways, that I still think she's going to be a major contender in the next quad if she chooses to continue.
Yes.
Let's talk about the Korean ladies here. We have Haeyeon Lee, who landed herself in fifth, and Jia Shin in sixth. Now, Jia Shin short program was a disaster. Two falls, missed a combo. End of last year, I would have thought, you know, she's a major contender at the Olympics for a podium. I think there's just been too much of a pattern of inconsistency and mistakes this season for her to be in the conversation.
I agree. I think she could put out a respectable performance, but I'm not seeing her in the top five.
Me either.
I think even the top 10, probably. Ooh, I don't know. But it's still a question mark.
It's exactly, that's it. It's such a question mark. Because if she skates fully clean, which we've seen her do this year, she's in the top five. But, like, Right. Can she deliver? I don't know. I feel like you have to go off of the pattern, and the pattern says no.
Yeah.
Gabby Dalman of Canada, the comeback woman, a 67 in the short program. That was one of the, I thought that was a highlight from the short program.
Oh, for sure. She's a really, she reminds me of, like, a show skater. That's what I thought when I saw some points of her long. Definitely was not as shining as her short program. And she definitely looked a little tired towards the end. But when she hits, like, certain moves, like, especially choreographic moves, even, like, a spiral, she hits it so hard. She just looks so eloquent.
Yeah. I wonder what her future looks like, if she wants to continue or not. I say, why not? Like, if you enjoy skating and competing, might as well keep going.
I agree. If you put in all of this work, like, it wasn't just for the Olympics, right? Like, at this point, there's no one in Canada that's, like, knocking down the door to come out and be the top woman. So she should keep on working for it. See what happens. If she loves it.
We also have the American woman here, Brady Tennell in fourth and Sarah Everhart in eighth. Brady Tennell with two clean programs. I would have expected nothing less. And when we say clean programs for Brady, that always comes with Qs and unders. But it was clean for Brady. Great competition for her. Sarah, struggle in the free skate.
Yeah, I mean, I think I would go as far as saying I don't know if I've seen a long from her like this, even early season.
True. It was bad.
Yeah, like, she was popping. I mean, she's falling out of her double axel.
The cues, where she had cues, it was, like, clear. They could have been unders in my eyes, I thought. I was like, she's lucky she got some cues.
Yeah, I think maybe she should go back to the triple toe.
I wonder that.
It does seem like the Lutz is always giving her an issue, right? Like, sure, she didn't under-rotate her Lutz.
Wait. She never did triple toe in the free skate.
Oh, did she?
She did double axel, triple toe in the free skate, but she used to do triple toe in the short. I agree with you. I think bring triple toe into the free skate and then do, like, triple Lutz, double axel combo in the second half.
Yeah.
Why doesn't she do that?
Sarah, you heard it here first. I think just switch up the content. Do what you feel comfortable with, because this maybe is not it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess she must not be comfortable with, like, a two double axel combo because she's never done it. But As someone who doesn't skate, it seems like it's easier for a lot of people, but maybe it's not easier for her. But
well, she does struggle. She struggled with the double axel quite a bit this year.
She did. Maybe because she was working on a triple axel, which, by the way, I don't see that for her. She doesn't get enough height and she doesn't rotate fast enough.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think she could benefit from like a coaching change. And when I say a coaching change, I don't mean like, I don't think she should go to Colorado. I don't think she should go to Boston. I think she needs like, I think there's a coach out there for her that can be like 100% fully focused on her. And I think she would do really well with that.
Mm-hmm. Or just even add a coach to staff for her. You know,
that's true as well.
Totally just leave.
True. Fair enough. We'll see a lot of these women again in a couple weeks.
We shall.
Let's talk about pairs next, because I think like dance and men, I personally don't have that much to say about either of those events. So let's go to pairs.
Okay.
Let's level set right out of the gate. We have Efimova and Mitrofanov of the USA in first, Sui and Han of China in second, and Nagaoka and Moriguchi of Japan in third. Now, let's talk Efimova and Mitrofanov. Great performance from them. I mean, we've talked about them ad nauseum this season. Question for you, which is not related to skating, so I kind of feel bad even asking this, but I just wonder what your thoughts are. They are married.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think they're a real couple?
Yeah.
You do?
I do.
I used to think they were, and there was something at this competition that made me think...
Well, I get a good vibe from them. I get a really good vibe. Maybe
they were just an off week.
I remember, like, this was so long ago, no, at Nationals when I watched one of the practice cams with them, just watching them interact in that regard and, like, just how connected they were, such hard workers, like, encouraging each other. It was just, like, a really genuine vibe, so...
That could also just be a friendship.
It could be, but, like, you know, I'm going to believe that that's what it is, and I think, to your point... I'm sure they're struggling with the fact that they're not going to the Olympics and that did not all work out. I'm sure there is just some heartbreak there.
But they did a great job here. Sui and Han, good Lord. Good Lord Almighty.
I just don't understand how the whole end of the short program. Like, what do we think happened? She just was tired or she hurt?
I really don't. No, I mean, I think I saw somewhere that she did get hurt a little bit somehow. I don't know the details. I'm so sorry, everybody. I should have been more prepared. I'm more concerned with the free skate. Like, if I think there was a minor injury that happened. The free skate, I don't know how you come back from that in 2 weeks.
So do you think they're not going to be at the Olympics?
I think they will, because, like, why back out now? Like, man, I don't know, but I do think, like, I would have had Zhang and Huang higher than them here. Hands down. And Zhang and Huang are in four. I think there's an argument Sui and Han could be below Kelly Loren and Ethier, I'm so sorry, of Canada. I think there was an argument to have them below them, to be totally honest with you.
But didn't you think that their short was solid?
It was, but it still didn't have that same... It was the best short I think we've seen from them.
Mm-hmm.
Let me say that. Should they be getting high eights, low nines in components? Absolutely not. And it's kind of a moot point because I don't think they're going to be in the conversation at the Olympics if they do choose to attend. But I think it is a shame here of how they were scored. I think they were vastly overscored here.
Yeah, but like that's... And I mean, I get it's in China, but it's been pretty consistent all year when we've seen them.
I know.
That they've gotten these solid scores, so...
And that's the problem, I think, is once one... And I get it. They're Olympic champions. Like, maybe you earn a couple extra points just in being Olympic champions, but it's like once one judging panel gives a certain number of components, you kind of see that... And this is for any skater. You see that pretty consistent throughout that whole season.
Hey, okay, I have a question for you.
Okay.
So, well, first off, I really love a comeback story, and I wrote so hard for the comeback, especially if I really enjoyed that skater or that team. But
okay.
We all can see how extremely difficult it is for the most part. Who do you think has been the most successful comeback story? Or who are some of your... No. Just in general.
I think Brady Tennell is underrated in her comeback. I know she's had a great comeback and it's clear. Mm-hmm. But I don't think people understand the weight of her comeback. And all of the injuries. And it was like, oh, she'd be back strong. Oh, she breaks her ankle on a bracket. It's like, what? Are you kidding? Yeah. And then she comes back like stronger than ever before. So her comeback stories are amazing, I think.
That's a good
one. Do you have
one.
Anybody in mind?
I don't think so. This was like more of a genuine question. Like,
sure.
Who do we think is like had a really great comeback? Like, and I'm not going to consider it Laurence and Guillaume. Like, I don't consider that a comeback. They were barely out of competition. No. You know, like, I think a lot of the folks we've seen this year have been out for like a full quad, sometimes even longer, and things have just changed.
It's hard. Like, I think it just goes to show how hard these skaters work and how long it takes to get in competition form and in like top athletic form to compete and contend with the best.
Yeah, Brady's really an excellent example, because think about all the folks who have been injured like in the past quad, and
I know
you can still see it at times where you do not see that with Brady at all at this point.
Like, she's bad. And I mean that, like, bad in, like, the positive way. Like, it's insane.
Yeah.
And Chris Howarth, every time he commentates, he makes it sure everybody knows. So maybe she's not underrated in that sense, because Chris is always bringing it up.
Yeah, but that's Chris. Chris is just a positive type of guy. He likes to make sure those are the stories that are being told. Not many people do that.
All right. Really quick with pairs, I want to touch on as well Audrey Shin and Balazs Nagy. Another not very good skate for them in both the short and the free skate. Let me tell you some fun facts here about Balazs. Balazs has had 5 partnerships. None have exceeded 2 years. Are they going to make it through this season and compete again as a team next season?
My opinion would be yes. USFSA really has put a lot of stock into them. Which I think has maybe been a disadvantage for them too, because there's been so much pressure put on them.
There's obviously like a reason why he's always breaking up with his Paris partners. For God knows whatever reason, it doesn't matter. But, and maybe you're right. Maybe they will stick together because he's getting a little bit older. Maybe he thinks, you know, let me just ride this out. I think Audrey's strong for being a new Paris skater. So I think she has so much potential. It would be foolish, I think, for them to break up. But I just wonder when I look at history.
But going to history, too, like if you look up Chelsea Liu, one of his former partners, she also has like 5 partners. Yeah. So
I know. Speaking of Chelsea Liu, explain this to me. Somebody out there, because I don't think you'll be able to. I don't know if there are anyone out there who could. Probably someone who's like a technical pair skater. Why is it that when Chelsea Liu and Balazs Nagy skated together, their triple twist was literally, she was up in the air like 10 feet. Chelsea Liu doesn't get that height on her triple twist with Ryan Bedard, and Audrey Shin doesn't get that height with Balazs. So like, why was their triple twist so strong? Like, I think it goes to show with pairs, it's like, it's truly a partnership.
Right.
It's not ever like one person over the other. It's like how they work together.
Well, I always remember when we saw them compete at Skate America 2022, and they got, I believe, the bronze there.
Yeah.
And I was honestly disappointed when they broke up, because they did seem like they had a lot of potential together.
I don't know. I don't think that was 2022. That was like maybe 2023. But regardless, like that, they were very promising that year, to the point where people even thought like, oh, they could be national champions for all we know. Mm-hmm. Obviously, that didn't materialize, but so much potential. And Audrey and Balazs are the same. All right, should we move on to the men?
Sure.
I don't have much to say here, to be honest. Let's just quickly level set. Kalmyra in second, Junwon Cha. Oh my God, sorry. Kalmyra in first, Junwon second. Oh my God. Junwon Cha in second, and Sota Yamamoto in third. Kao, congratulations. That's great. Fabulous. Wasn't expecting it. Junwon Cha also wasn't expecting it. I think Junwon Cha could be a surprise top 5 at the Olympics.
And you heard it from Flip, not Wally. Remember that. Because I don't know about that.
I think bringing back the Loco free skate, like something he's comfortable with. I like the program. I'm fine with it. I'd rather people do something new and fresh. But like at the end of the day, you do you, boo. Like Now's not the time to experiment or be uncomfortable during an Olympic season. I get it. I think he's going to peak at the exact right time. Tomoki Hibatashi announced his retirement.
Yeah, that was sad.
I don't think a surprise, but I know it probably didn't pan out the way he wanted to this season, but man, oh man, his greatest season to date. I hope he's not at least upset at his last season. He should be very proud. Do you have anything else to say about the men? I know, I'm sorry. I really don't, because we're going to be talking about like a lot of these men here in a couple weeks, including Shaidarov.
Yeah, no.
I don't really want to get into it.
Let's move on.
Okay. That was a nice 1 minute conversation on the men. Dance. Again, I don't really have that much to say because it felt like a repeat of U.S. Nationals.
Well, it kind of was.
It really was. Now, I think everyone probably predicted the top three teams would be the three U.S. teams being Zingas and Kolesnik in first, the Browns in second, and Green and Parsons in third, in some order, right? I think everyone predicted that. If there was any other team here who you thought going into this could break into the medals, who would it have been?
I think no one could have broken in to the medals, to be quite honest.
I agree. I don't think anyone could have. I always think like Hannah Lim and Ye Kwan are like going to have a breakthrough moment, but they're just like not improving at all. Like take out the mistake in the Twizzles and the rhythm dance. Like they're really stagnant. I think they're some of like the greatest performers in the field and maybe have the most potential in a lot of ways. But like, man, oh man.
I mean, I think it's great though to see Zingas and Kolesnik to get a personal best in the free dance, and the Browns to get personal best in both. Rhythm dance and free dance was awesome for them.
And I apologize to everybody. I think I said the Browns were in second and Green and Parsons were in third. It's flipped. But I think everyone knew. Everyone probably knows who's listening to this. I don't think there's like casual fans. But yes, I think Zingas and Kolesnik have sent themselves up well to hopefully skate clean at the Olympics. And hopefully, I think they're probably banking on like a top 10 finish. I would be if I were them. I'm definitely expecting that from them. So
yeah,
it'll be good. All right. Do we have anything else we want to discuss, or do we need to like start sleeping until the Olympics?
I think we might have to start sleeping. So like, what do you want to, let's talk about what's to come. Like, okay. What are we going to do next week? Are we going to talk team event?
Here's the problem with the team event. Up? I want to talk about the team event so bad, but how meaningful of a discussion can we have not knowing who the countries are picking for each event? That's my only thing. Like, I want to have a conversation, and I think we can. And I think for the most part, like, we know. Obviously, like, looking at, like, Georgia and Italy, I think it's, like, Georgia, of course, they only have one potential option for all shorts and longs. So, okay, we're good. But
well, listen, we can give some recommendations.
We can give some recommendations.
For who to pick.
So, do we want to do that next week?
Yeah, I'd like to do that, and I'd also like to talk a bit about the Russians.
Let's do that. Let's do a Russian episode and like a Russian and team competition episode. I need to look up about the Russian skaters. I don't follow.
Oh, me too. Me either. So I feel like I want to learn a little bit going in so I can have some better opinions formed.
All right. So that's very exciting. We will see everybody next week. This was a short and sweet episode, but I don't know. I think we're all just like gearing up for the next few weeks, so
yes, get some rest, Flippy.
Okay, you too. Good night.
Ta-ta. And flip the roof.